I think small churches have something very, very special, and that is we know one another and we are a part of one another. Every one of you are very, very vital. If you're not here, you're missed, and we appreciate every one of you and you choosing Northview to be your home. I want us to go back to 2 Samuel. We began laying a foundation last week. One word, more. God's got more. God's got more for us. But sometimes in situations of life, we get satisfied and we accept what is and we don't see anything else. I love the Old Testament. It's a lot of good history in there, and we're going to talk about some history today. David, man after God's own heart, great king, was moved of God in his heart to do something great. He could have been satisfied where he was. We laid a foundation last week. Let me just read the scripture. I try not to take too much time to go back over because we need to move forward, but I wanted you to see this in 2 Samuel chapter 5, beginning on verse 6. And the king, talking about David and his men, went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites. Now, up until this point, what you're reading here is that David has taken action on his heart, his feelings. There is a group of people called Jebusites who are basically evil and have taken away from God's people something that's not theirs. The Mount Zion, the mountain that they're on, didn't belong to them. You know, we alluded last week, that's how the enemy works. He comes in, he takes things from us, and we don't belong to him. How many of you know that? We do not belong to him. We belong to God. And when the enemy comes in to take away things from us, he has no right to do that. We settle and let him take reign sometime. But I want you to understand this. I want you to hear it very clear. He's real and he's powerful, but he's defeated. Amen? He's very real. Don't think he's not real. He's smarter than we are. He was smart, so smart that he turned Adam and Eve into doing something that God told him not to do. So he's pretty slick. But I want you to understand, you are the creation of God. And inside of you, God has birthed in you an explosion of more. God has so much for you that maybe you've not experienced yet, but there is an evil force, the enemy, who don't want you to experience that. He wants you to be satisfied with less. And so David now has gone through this in his heart. The kingdom is divided. There was two kingdoms. There was a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. All were God's people, but they were divided. I want to say this real clear. As we start this story today, it is about a division. And I want you to understand that division is not of God. And I want you to get this point. Division always, always takes away. When the enemy comes in and divides you from whatever resource it might be, he's coming in to make you settle for less. And so that's where David was. David, there's a division. The 12 tribes are divided, separated, divided, which God has not wanted, but they had been this way. The northern side was, the capital was Samaria. The southern side, the capital was Hebron, where David was, because that's where his family was. But he began to get stirred in his heart. And he said, you know, this is not right. We should be together. But there was a division in the Mount Zion there that the Jebusites had come in and had taken and caused all this. And at the top of that mountain, it was level and plain. Let me read on what they say here. The Jebusites, the inhabitants of verse 6 of the land, which spake unto David, saying, except thou take away blind. Now they knew what David was, and they knew his capabilities. So what did they start doing? They started mentally attacking. Mental warfare is a great tool of the enemy. How many of us worry about stuff that never happens? But in your mind, it's just as real as the day is. Right? That's mental warfare. What if this? What if that? What if you do this? What if you wake up ugly? I mean, what if? You know, all this what if stuff. And the whole time, you belong to God, as we celebrated this morning, who gave himself for you. You are that valuable to God. Do you think he's going to let anybody bother you? Do you think he's going to let the enemy overtake you? No weapon, the Bible says, formed shall prosper. So here's the situation. They're in the middle of this division, and they're saying this, they're go ahead and saying, we're going to take our sick. We're going to take our blind. Really? We're going to take our blind. You know what they're saying? We can defeat you with our sick and our lame and our blind. Now, the lame and the blind, we'll talk to you in just a minute. That's referring to the forefathers of the Israelites, because they were shouting about their weaknesses. Jacob and Isaac, and you remember all that. We'll talk about that in just a second. But basically what they were saying is, you guys are so weak that we're going to defeat you with our weak. You know what they did on top of that mountain? It was level. They put the lame and the sick and the weak on top of that mountain. And they were saying to David, you're not even going to get up here. You're not even going to come close. How many times does the enemy tell you something that is a lie, telling you you're this and you're that and you're not going to make it and you're not strong enough to handle this? Oh, you're getting ready to go through something that's too big for you. You can't handle it. Has God ever allowed us to go through something by ourselves? No. He's right there with us. And if you've got God with you, then who else do you need? You know what the Bible said? If God be for you, and he goes before us, around us, behind us, every other way, God is there, and the enemy's just shouting out, our lame and our blind and our weak are going to defeat you, David. And David, you cannot, look at the last part of verse 6. You can't even come up here, David. Remember what I said last week? I like the next verse. Verse 7 says, nevertheless. That's awesome to me. I just love stuff. You know, that's, they're telling all, they're talking all this smack to David. And David says, nevertheless. You know, really? Oh, I'm scared now. You know, that kind of, I mean, David, you got to look at this man. He's a warrior. He's an awesome military giant. And they're telling him, you're not going to make it. You're not coming up here. How many times does the devil whisper in your ear, tell you something negative, something that God's not going to do for you? So, the Bible says, nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, and the same as the city of David. You heard the city of David a lot referred to. This is what he's talking about. David's getting ready to take his city back. And he takes the stronghold. You remember what I said a stronghold was? Who remembers what I said a stronghold was? Nobody remembers. Okay, good preaching here. You got a good pastor. Amen. Stronghold, think about it just a minute. It's when something takes hold of you and stops you in your place. That's what the enemy loves, a stronghold. And he thought that he could intimidate. The word intimidation is a very powerful word. You need to hear this word. Intimidation is of the enemy, and he's trying to make you feel something that you're not. You're not defeated. You're not overwhelmed. You're not going to be dismayed. God's going to take care of you. So in verse 8 it says, and David said on that day, whosoever get up the gutter. Now, this wall was a great big wall, and the only way they had a gutter system. Everybody knows gutters. Everything gets into gutters. Remember I said last week, everything runs through gutters but water, right? Because they're all full of stuff. So he says, the only way we're going to be able to get up here, because he's a strategist. He's already been told you're not coming up here. So you know David's going. So he says, this is the only way we're going to go. And when I began to think about it, I said, Lord, what does that mean? Because I believe every word in the Bible is anointed and every word is inspired. So that means every word means something. That's why I love to preach one word sermons more. That means something. What it means is there's times in our lives that things are dirty and slimy and not nice and don't feel good, but we got to go through to get to the top of the mountain. And whatever you're battling with right now is ugly, it's not good, there's nothing good about it. We hear a lot about cancer today. Every family just about is affected with it in some way. There's nothing good about cancer. But there is something good about God. How many of you believe the Bible is inspired of God? I believe everybody in here does. Did not he say that his word is inspired and will not return void? It will accomplish what it set out to do. But you got to go through that gutter. So David says the only way we're going to get through the gutter is, I'll tell you what we're going to do. The ones who go through this gutter and achieve this goal, they're going to be the chief. They're going to be the chief. And so, and I like what it said here in verse 10. And David went on and grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. So this didn't stop David. So I want you to keep in mind now that the 12 tribes are divided. David's sitting in Hebron and he's saying, we need to come back and come together. This mountain's in the way. Remember last week I alluded to that this mountain was very, very significant because it was on this mountain, Mount Zion, that Solomon would build his temple. The ark would be brought back and the glory would fill the temple, where Jesus would eventually be crucified and resurrected. That's how powerful it was. And so, of course, the enemy wanted to take that away. You remember back, and just write this scripture down, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 54, when David defeated the head of the giant, or cut the head of the giant off. And the Bible says he went back to his tent, he regrouped himself, but then he took that head through the city, and he went to the bottom of this mountain. This is awesome. God is so connected. Isn't it amazing that God knows everything? And he knows the beginning from the end. And you know what he did, David, as a teenager? Took that head, put a spear in the ground, took that head and shoved it on that spear and let all of them know, I'm coming back. He didn't even know what he was doing at the time. He didn't realize that God had a prophetic plan for David, and one day he would be back, and he would take the city, and the city would be the city of David. Amen. Is that awesome or what? So, let's talk about psychological warfare for just a second. Three times in this story, it's alluded to the blind and the lame. The blind and the lame. David loved lame people, so it's not saying that he didn't like. You remember Mephibosheth? I got it out. I was worried about that one. Don't ask me to say it again. You remember he was the one that was blind, that he was crippled? And David took care of him for the rest of his life. So David loved. It wasn't that he was against lame and blind people. But what it was, let me tell you about psychological warfare. The enemy lusts to play in your mind. You know what they would do? I did some research in this and some history. And what they would do at night, they would light up these mannequins. They had two mannequins. One represented Isaac, which was blind. One represented Jacob, which was lame. He was weakness. And you know what they would do at night? They would torment the people by making these mannequins go back and forth, and the light would reflect off the wall, and it would just be a constant reminder of your weak leadership. Is that something? Your weak leadership. Your Isaac was blind. He gave away the birthright. Jacob was lame. You will not take this city because you are too weak. And they would remind them constantly of their weakness. Can you imagine that intimidation? They got the mountain. They already overtook the mountain that's supposed to be yours. And now they're adding to it by these mannequins going back and forth, reflecting shadows day at night, saying, your weak leadership will not take this mountain. Let me tell you something. I got wrapped up in the history, and I'm going to share some stuff with you. I hope I can share it correctly. But I want to tell you, God's got a plan for America, and He will not fail. Mark my word on that. Mark my word on that. In 1948, Jerusalem and Israel were reborn. There was a young man by the name of David Ben-Gurion. Ben-Gurion. In the city of Tel Aviv, they tell me there's an airport there named after him. But he, at the age of 15, he survived the Holocaust, and he was one of the ones who helped develop the flag of the Star of David. He was of a youth society named Ezra, and he would give speeches, prophetic speeches, saying that Israel was going to be reborn, that Jerusalem and Israel would be restored. You remember in the United Nations, they had a Uganda plan. Some of you that have studied history would know that plan. You know what that plan was? That was a plan of the enemy to settle for less. God said that Jerusalem and Israel, the Holy Land, was His. Amen? And God said, don't mess with Israel. One writer said, if you want to know what God is doing, look at Israel. God's going to protect His word. Amen. And we'll get to what our president did in just a few minutes. But that wasn't by happen chance. That's God saying, I want all y'all to know I'm in control. Boy, I feel His anointing in this place this morning. I want all of you to know. So United Nations came up with the Uganda plan. What was that? There was a group of nations that was backed by Russia. It's amazing how much we're hearing about Russia now. And they said, we're not going to give you this Holy Land. Can you imagine telling God, you're not going, can you? I mean, really? Talking to God, He created it, He made it before you got here. But you telling Him, let me tell you something, there's a lot of stuff going on in the news, fake news, bad news, no news. There's a lot of junk going on. And if you listen to that mess, you're going to go crazy. I'm going to visit you in the crazy house. And if you don't believe none of it, you believe this word right here. Amen. What's got to be real is on TV. It's got to be real. It's in the internet. Amen. I read it in the internet, so it's got to be real. Let me tell you something. The ones writing this stuff don't even know who they are. Amen. But let me tell you, God knows who He is. So here's the deal. They said, you're not going to have the Holy Land. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to be so nice, and we're going to give you 24,000 miles in Uganda, Africa. The father of David Ben-Gurion said, look, you need to settle. His name was Herschel. Herschel said, you need to settle for this. David said, I'm not settling. He's a young boy. Isn't that awesome? He was convicted. He knew what his God could do. He said, I'm not settling. I'm never going to settle for this. God's got more, and I'm not going to settle. When the enemy tells you to take less than what you know you're able to do, don't you do it. God's got more. So there was a debate going on by a man by the name of Lord Belfast in the United Nations, and they were debating back and forth about this land. David Ben-Gurion said, they were telling him to settle, give up this land. So he looked at this guy. He was the Lord Belfast in the United Nations. He said, would you trade London for Paris? He said, certainly not. He said, Lord Belfast said, it was ours from the beginning. David Bergamot said, exactly. The Holy Land was ours from the beginning, and we're not giving it up. Amen. When you know God is for you, who can be against you? Stay with me a little bit longer. The devil always has a cheap substitute. When you know you can do more, you go for that job interview, and they say no, don't let that stop you. Don't let that stop you, because you know inside of you there's more. Well, we got this over here you can do. We'll let you do that. You ain't going to let me do nothing. God is my source. He's my resource. He's going to open up the right door for me. How many of y'all believe that? Amen. Don't you settle for the crumbs under the table when God has called you to sit at the table. Amen. Amen. Devil always has a cheap substitute. They got rivers in Africa, but they don't have the Jordan River. Amen. They got mountains, but they don't have Mount Carmel where the fire came down. Let me tell you this. God's got more. You're going to have to go through the gutter sometime to get there. You're going to have to go through some hard times. Listen to this now. It's not a quick fix all the time. There's times you have to endure for a night. I got to be real to you. God's got it for you, but sometimes there's an evil force coming against you that wants you to quit. Don't you quit. Don't you quit. I've said this before. Babe Ruth was known for what? Home run king. Did you know he had more strikeouts than he did home run? Amen. I love sports, so I don't want to get lost in that. But I want you to understand this. There's a bluff of the enemy who tells you. You lay in bed and you think about it. You think about it on your job. And let me tell you what he does. He loves to illuminate lies. Don't let lies overtake you. If God be for you, who can be against you? I want to ask you to do something. Turn to the one beside of you and say that. If God be for you, who can be against you? Amen. How many of y'all believe that? Jesus, thou son of David, the city of David. So I'm going to close this sermon with this. David took that city. Jesus came 1,500 years later. He died on a cross. It was prophesied in Genesis 3:15 of Golgotha. Golgotha from Goliath was from Gath. Gaul. And it said that in Mark 15:22 there was a place called the Skull. The head of Goliath. You remember what it said the prophecy was? That he would crush the head? The historians say, man, I got lost in this when I was reading that because I've always kind of wondered about all that. But it said at that very place where David had put that spear with the head, it's about the same place where they put the cross. And that cross crushed that head. You see where I'm going with this? God is God. And he is bad to the bone. Amen? And let me tell you this. He's got a plan. Now, I know you turn on the news, they don't even know what they're talking about. They're so confused. But you remember a few months ago, we heard about President Trump and the Prime Minister of Israel. He said that Trump was sitting there one day and he said, you know what? I think we need the embassy back in Jerusalem. We're going to leave Tel Aviv and we're going to go back to Jerusalem. Y'all think that's by chance? You think he just had that thought? No. Christ is coming back. He's coming back on time, at the right time, and at the right place. And it may appear that these strongholds everywhere have got everything under control. Let me tell you something. When God waves his hand, it's going to happen. And I want to be ready, don't you? I want to be ready. There's nothing left in this world. Don't you listen to me real good. There is nothing in this world worth missing God. I hope it's real quiet in here because I hope you're listening real good. There's not a person, there's not a bank account, there's not a job, there's not anything worth missing God. Jesus Christ is coming, just like he said. He's going to come just like he said. In the hour that we know not, he's coming. They tell us there's no God. They tell us everybody's God. They say whatever they want to. But all that is intimidation. All that is a mannequin going back forth in the light, trying to show you and trying to intimidate you that this is not real. But I'm going to tell you something. I believe that God put the president right where he's supposed to be. And I believe that when he said, Jerusalem's coming back, take care of Israel, I want to tell you what. If you'll take care of Israel, America, God's going to bless you. Amen. Amen. If we support and pray for Israel, God's going to bless us. You don't know why? He wants you to keep your eyes on Israel. Billy Graham said one time, if you want to know where God is, look at Israel. Amen. And when you look at Israel, soon and very soon, he's going to come. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet this morning. I've shared a brief part of history with you. History that was attempted to be changed, but God brought it back. As all heads are bowed, no one looking around, I want you to know that Jesus Christ is coming back. And I'd like to see the hand here today. Now, nobody's looking around, so nobody knows it's you or whatever. This is between you and God. The Lord is coming back. We believe that in Northview. We believe in the entire Word of God, and the Bible says he's coming. If you're here today and you know that you're ready to go, if he could come today, it wouldn't bother you because you're ready to go. Would you just lift your hand and say, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. Thank God for those hands. Thank God. Thank God. Beautiful, beautiful. Every hand in here, and I thank God for that. Thank God for that. Because you know what? Just like this, he's coming back. He's coming back. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you, Lord, for the Bible. Because it is a book that people have tried to destroy. They've tried to put down. They've tried to burn. They've tried to throw it away. But your word shall endure forever. I am thankful, God, that I serve a God that is a prophetic God that speaks the truth. And no matter where, when we live in a time where truth's not important, it doesn't matter. Truth's going to reign. Truth's going to reveal itself. Truth is going to stand. Thank you, God, for this assembly of people that are ready to meet you if you come. Lord, come quickly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.